You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by the 90 Min Football Network. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and on this edition, we are going to be discussing the latest on the reports linking Arsenal with a move for Fiorentina's Dusan Vlahovic. We're also going to be reacting to Mikel Arteta's press conference ahead of the trip to Liverpool coming up tomorrow in the first leg. of our Carabao Cup semi-final. Big hello to everybody joining us live at the moment. Hope you're all well. Hope you're all good. There's a bit of sunshine here in London today. It is bloody freezing, mind you, but there's still a bit of sunshine, which always puts a smile on my face. So yeah, let's get into it. Let's start off with the latest on Dusan Vlahovic. So much noise about this player over the last few days. So much so that I personally think that we've probably overlooked what's a greater need in this Arsenal side at the moment as a consequence of the rumours and the reports and all of the hype around Dusan Vlahovic. But we'll come on to talk about that in a little bit. Let me bring you up to speed with the latest on the Fiorentina forward. Now, Ben Jacobs, who's been right across this story from the minute it first came to the kind of fore, has recently tweeted around about 45 minutes ago at the time of recording, "My understanding remains that Arsenal are still trying for Dusan Vlahovic. Any January deal depends on persuading the Serbian. Fiorentina are open to a sale, but a summer move is still more likely. Vlahovic wants UEFA Champions League football. Not true, though, that he's demanding 300k per week. Talks with any club haven't progressed to the point of specific wage demands being discussed. His agent is well aware of the interested suitors, and Vlahovic is in a strong bargaining position. The idea, however, that a club must pay £150 million all in for the Serbian is being denied." He also goes on to talk about a couple of other deals and a couple of other links with regards to the Arsenal. He talks about Yuri Tielemans, who Arsenal are also being linked with. But he is somebody, according to Ben Jacobs, that Leicester City are looking to keep hold of. And although Arteta admires him, there's nothing really in that at this moment in time. So the Dusan Vlahovic thing is still bubbling away under the surface. And although there are lots of reports claiming that he is making some crazy demands financially, according to Ben Jacobs, that is simply not true. Now, I did figure that 300k a week felt a little bit crazy for a player like that. And I have been saying to you guys throughout this transfer window that although you should read and consume as much as you can, take a lot of it with a pinch of salt. And I think a lot of it has been kind of overblown. There's a lot being made of the fact that he supposedly doesn't want to join Arsenal. But it's easy to make fun of Arsenal, isn't it? It's easy to make fun of any club that a player has not agreed to join, or hasn't agreed up until this point. It's so easy to go, well, look, he doesn't want to go to Arsenal because of Arsenal's current position. So I've always said that that's a bit of a lazy way of looking at it. And I've always said that for me, what you're looking at with Dusan Vlahovic is not having to convince this guy that Arsenal is the dream and Arsenal is the move that he needs to make now. And the move that's going to, you know, spell the way the rest of his career is going to go. This is the next step in Dusan Vlahovic's career. And if Arsenal can evolve and adapt with him, then we stand a good chance of keeping him. If we can't, then of course, we still have that opportunity and that possibility of cashing in big on a player who's only going to increase in his value, assuming his development goes the way many of us expect it to. So, that's the latest on Dusan Vlahovic. Love this from Matt Tomo, who says, "I'm all aboard the Vlahovic hype train as of 2 hours ago. Been watching videos all throughout my work shift tonight." Yeah, I think a lot of people who are unsure as to whether Vlahovic is a good striker and would add something to this team are people who haven't seen a great deal of him. And that's no slight on them. It's no disrespect. It's no criticism of them. There's only a certain amount of hours in a day. How much football can you bloody watch? But, you know, I think if you do have a good look at Vlahovic, then it's undeniable that he's a very, very good striker. Whether he's the perfect fit for Arsenal in comparison to some of the other suitors out there, whether that be Alexander Isak, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Jonathan David is also being discussed, and we'll talk about him a little bit later on our second stream today. When you think about all of that, then there is obviously a debate to be had as to whether Vlahovic is the best fit, whether he fits like a glove, or whether he's kind of like, you're kind of trying to force it in. You're trying to force the hand to fit somewhere, and it you know, it's not a perfect fit. It's not the ideal fit. I don't know, crap analogy, but you know what I'm trying to say. So yeah, look, it looks like Arsenal are still trying for this. Mikel Arteta didn't outright deny it in his press conference today. He also did what Mikel Arteta does, as you expect, and said, you know, I'm not talking about transfer targets. I'm not talking about individual transfer targets. He never does and he never will. And it's as simple as that. But he was asked a really interesting question, you know, about how he expects the transfer window to go, et cetera, et cetera. And he was very adamant that in any conversation he's had with potential signings, he's never got that feeling from anybody that they don't want to join Arsenal. He says it's an advantage that we have, that players look at the club as being of such a high esteem in such a, you know, really, you know, great manner as a club who have done brilliant things in the past. And as a club who, despite not being where they'd like to be right now in terms of their performances and league position, et cetera, are a club who have so much to offer. You know, it's the London life. It's the money. It's the glitz and glamour of the Premier League. There's so much that Arsenal can offer that a lot of other clubs in Europe simply can't, despite us not being in the Champions League, despite us not sitting at the top table right now. So yeah, really, really interesting stuff from Mikel Arteta on that as well. In order to bring you up to date with the transfer stuff, before we talk a little bit more about Mikel Arteta's press conference and the game against Liverpool and some of the other bits and pieces, some more transfer news, and it's confirmed now that Folarin Balogun has joined Middlesbrough on loan for the remainder of the season. And as I said to you guys yesterday, although there is that fear and that worry and that concern of us leaving ourselves a bit short in the middle of the in the centre forward position, it is a move that I think needed to happen. I don't think he's ready yet to lead the line for Arsenal. And so I don't see how he's going to develop if he doesn't play football. I think the Championship is a good league in the sense of it's plenty of games. You know, he's going to a decent sized club in Middlesbrough. He's going somewhere where he's going to work with a good coach in Chris Wilder. And it really toughens you up, doesn't it? Because I think the physical element is one of the big differences between playing under 23s football and then stepping up to play senior football. I think that's, you know, you can be the biggest lad in the world, but I just think the physical demands of the two are very, very different. And I think the Championship is arguably more physical than the Premier League, at least in terms of maybe not pace of play, but in terms of the, you know, the comings together and the challenges and the kind of robustness, if you like, of certain players and teams. I think it's the perfect environment for him to almost be overtrained in that sense, to then come back to the Premier League and feel as though he fits in nicely. So I'm all for the following Balogun move. I think that probably means it's unlikely that Eddie Nketiah leaves this month, despite there being reports floating around today from the Times that Arsenal are in talks with Crystal Palace over Eddie Nketiah, with the 22-year-old's contract coming to an end at the end of this season. So there are noises about that, but I think the departure of Balogun probably means that Arsenal are going to keep hold of Eddie Nketiah at least until the end of the season. And at that point, they'll have no choice because he'll be a free agent and be able to do as he pleases. In other news, Ser Kolasinac is continuously being linked with a move away, a move to join Marseille. Now, we heard the other day from Gunner Blog James, who's brilliant over at The Athletic, that, of course, that Ser Kolasinac has been training as a midfield player in recent days. So, I mean, if Ser Kolasinac is going to be leaving, who the hell's going to play in midfield? I joke. I don't want to see him there. But Ser Kolasinac supposedly in discussions, as are the club, with Marseille about terminating his contract early so that he can join Marseille sooner rather than later. That's another one of the dead wood, if you like, that we'd be getting out the door. Does it leave us a little bit short in the left back position? No, it would have done last year. And that's why I praised the decision last season to go and get last summer, to go and get a backup left back, because it was clear that Kolasinac was not part of the plans and not somebody that Mikel Arteta had a great deal of faith in. Yet, when we were missing Kieran Tierney, especially in that Europa League semi-final, which I keep going back to, we could have really done with a natural left back. So we're in a position now to allow Sayer Kolasinac to move on. And I think that's the right thing to do. Also, Pablo Mari is being heavily linked with a move away too. He's been linked with the Serie A club Udinese. Earlier in the week, he was being linked with Sampdoria as well. So it's clear that there is some interest in the Spanish defender from the Serie A. And it seems as though a deal could be done between now and the end of the month that would see Pablo Mari move on. Now, in Pablo Mari's case, when he first came, I looked at him and I thought, you know what, this is a decent ball-playing defender. I had concerns about a lack of pace and how he would fare as a consequence of that in the Premier League. I also was kind of encouraged by the fact that being a left-sided centre-back, a left-footed centre-back, that if Gabriel was missing, we could plug that hole without it necessarily disrupting the balance of the side. And obviously, when you like to play out from the back the way we do, I think it's important that you have left-footed players in left-footed positions. And so I would have thought that Pablo Mari would have been the natural fill-in for somebody like Gabriel. But as we've seen, when Gabriel's not been available, it's been Rob Holding who's been pushed in. Rob Holding, who we know to now be one of Mikel Arteta's leadership group. Therefore, he's fallen further down the pecking order. And with William Saliba to potentially return in the summer as well, it's really difficult to see where Pablo Mari fits into the plans moving forward. So he has been linked with a move away. And I suspect that if the offer is right and the player's on board with it, Mikel Arteta will probably take that up as well. Remember, we've still got Callum Chambers at the club. There's Rob Holding, there's White, there's Gabriel. That's four centre-halves at least. So, I think that one will probably get done also. In terms of the Maitland-Niles situation, now over the last few days, we've been talking a lot, haven't we, about the Maitland-Niles situation and how I described it as mismanagement to allow Maitland-Niles to leave before we were able to get in a replacement. And I think that is probably still a fair comment. You know, even after listening to Mikel Arteta speak today, ahead of the trip to Liverpool, in which he was posed the question, you know, could you not have held on for a little bit longer? Could you not have held on and made sure that you had sufficient cover or that you'd got some of these really important fixtures out of the way prior to letting him go? And I think one of the kind of pushbacks that I kept getting from people was, yeah, but where's Maitland-Niles' head at? Is Maitland-Niles in a headspace to be competitive, given that he probably know that he'd be leaving the club in a couple of days? And I think Mikel Arteta touched on that. You know, he said it's very difficult for a player when they know they'll be leaving in a couple of days. He also talked about the fact that because of what occurred between Maitland-Niles and the football club back in the summer, where he made it very clear that he wanted to move on, it would have been unfair on the player to hold him back and see him potentially miss out on an opportunity. And that was kind of always my suspicion, that Arsenal felt this loyalty to Maitland-Niles because of the fact that he agreed to stay that little bit longer and then didn't get what he was probably promised. It is what led to Arsenal doing this deal. But Mikel Arteta said, there's no logic. I don't see that. I don't see holding on to someone for a couple of days, which could potentially have an impact on the next 6 to 9 months of their career. I don't see that as being, I think the word he used was logical way of doing things. So that's clearly Mikel Arteta and Arsenal's reasoning for allowing Maitland-Niles to leave, despite the fact that we're short of players in that particular position. Now, you know, he's given his reasoning, and I always respect people that give their reasoning and explain their decisions and their opinions. Doesn't mean I have to agree, though. And I certainly don't agree that was still the right thing because of the predicament that we find ourselves in now. He also talked about Granit Xhaka. He was asked about Granit Xhaka and whether or not he would be available for the game against Liverpool. Mikel Arteta's response was, I'll find out today. Of course, more COVID testing is needed. And then we need to assess Granit Xhaka as to whether or not he is fit enough. Now, Mikel Arteta said that mentally, he knows the player will be ready from the minute he tests negative to get back out on that pitch and do a job for the team. But physically, COVID can produce some challenges. You know, we've seen some players, as Mikel Arteta very eloquently alluded to, who have picked up the virus, who have been completely asymptomatic, have gone out a couple of days later, played a game of football and looked absolutely fine. And there have been others who, upon their return, have struggled in training sessions, etc., etc. So we can only hope and pray that, first of all, the test is negative, and second, that Granit Xhaka has been largely unaffected, because as we've been talking about time and time again over the last few days, that central midfield area is a problem. It's a big problem, and it's a problem that we go a long way in resolving, in my opinion, if Granit Xhaka is available. It's still not ideal. I still think Lokonga next to him, who it probably would be, assuming the Swiss international is back and available, has problems, has issues, has consistency issues, probably more than anything else. And that still worries me against an opposition of Liverpool's quality. But we go halfway in mitigating that midfield problem, I believe, at least if Granit Xhaka is in there. Yeah, so that's where I'm at. Lots of you mentioning the Artur Melo story in the chat box. And we're going to come on to talk a little bit more about that in detail on the stream that we do later on today. We're going to be doing Jonathan David. We're going to be talking Artur Melo as well, because links continue to surface with regards to those two players. RMC Sport, as Harvey's very kindly put in the chat, are saying that Arsenal are in advanced negotiations to sign the Juve midfielder on loan, and it's currently unknown whether Arsenal are negotiating an option to buy in the loan contract. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what comes of that. Talked about it a little bit yesterday. Talked about the fact that I've got some concerns and some worries about Artur Melo, because it hasn't really worked out for him at Juventus. I think anybody who watches or follows Serie A would probably tell you the same thing. Interestingly, commentator Kevin Hatchard, who I'm sure you all know, replied to one of my tweets about Artur yesterday and said, he's a lovely player. And his description, I thought, was really spot on. He's a lovely player on the ball, but not so good off of it. And what you need to do in that instance is have players around him that can, you know, carry those shortcomings, if you like, and almost plug the holes that Artur Melo is going to leave behind him. Add to the fact that the Premier League is much more high tempo, much more physical. I'm a little bit worried about the idea of Artur Melo coming on. As I said to you guys, I think it was yesterday or the day before, it might have been the day before, I said, when I saw him at Barcelona, I thought he was a real Rolls Royce of a player. And I still think that on the ball, he is fantastic. But it's the rest of his game that I think probably needs questioning. And I'd question whether this is the right move. It feels like a bit of a panic move for me, rather than one that fits into our overall strategy. But that's a consequence of the situation we've left ourselves in. You know, we're in a place now where we're going to have to patch up. And ideally, I don't want that to be the way that Arsenal are proceeding, the way that Arsenal are moving forward. Let's see what else you guys are saying in the comments. We'll take a couple of comments from some of you. Mr. Joe Kerr says, given that Marie, Kolasinac and even Cedric have all been linked with moves away, is it fair to assume that the last 10 years of you'll do for now / overpaid signings are over and a thing of the past? I think it's a really good sign that we're moving away from that. But I would argue that we'd seen signs of that right from the very beginning of Mikel Arteta's tenure. And at times he was heavily criticized for kind of the way he managed a few of these players and the way that some of these players were moved on. I think the fact that Arsenal backed Mikel Arteta in terms of saying, if you don't think he's part of the plans, we will pay off his contract early and we will get rid of him, I think was a sign that there's a real alignment between Mikel Arteta, Edu and the club's ownership with regards to what direction we're moving in. Now, that doesn't mean that I love the Kroenkes, right? Let's not go down that rabbit hole, because I'm going to get people saying, oh, you know, PR, Harry, whatever. That's not the case at all. All I'm saying is they're clearly singing from the same hymn sheet based on what we've seen. Now, is it going to be the right hymn sheet? Is it going to produce the song that we all want to hear? I don't know. But you know, of course, that is a sign that we're, you know, moving on from these players, and we're still, unfortunately, having to deal with the aftermath of some really bad business in recent years. Let's see what else we've got. A couple of you asking me to kind of talk about that midfield situation. As I say, we'll talk about that midfield situation in a little bit more detail a little bit later on today. It'll be 5 p.m. UK time today. Now, Matt Tomo says, what time are your daily streams? I try as much as possible to stick to 12:30 and 5 p.m., but that's not always possible just because of work. You know, sometimes things come at me, sometimes stories come at me, and there's other things that I've got to do, and I can't always stick to that time schedule. But wherever I can, wherever possible, I will be doing that. So 12:30 and 5 p.m. is what I'm aiming for, but bear in mind, there will be days where it might be 4 or 4:30. The 12:30 one might be at 12 or sometimes at 1. But I'll always schedule them an hour in advance. So if you've got your YouTube notifications on, you should be able to keep across that. Let's see what else we've got. Jay Dubia, one of our members, hope you're well, my friend, says, I'd go for a class striker if we can get one over a CM. We need goals long-term and we can cope for a couple of weeks in midfield as our fixtures are kind after the Cups and Spurs. Yeah, but, and I get this, right? I get this, but surely, let me rewind. I understand that people don't see the Carabao Cup as a priority this season. I don't, right? Finishing in the top six and if possible, top four is what I want. Finishing in the top six for me is a must. And if we don't, then I think you have to ask serious questions. Finishing in the top four would be a great season. Okay. So I understand why people think that the Carabao Cup is not big, not important, not something we should be overly worried about. But we're in the semi-final, so you've got to give it a crack. And what I don't want is if we do go out of the cup, which is a very good possibility that we do, that then turns this whole negative attitude towards the team and the club again, when actually overall this season so far, barring the FA Cup disaster at the weekend, we've probably outperformed what a lot of people thought we would manage. I do agree that we need a striker. I do agree that we need goals in the long term. But that midfield position, I've been beating this drum since last summer, is a problematic one. It's still a problematic one, even when we have everybody fit and available, because Elneny is not a long-term solution, because Thomas Partey regularly breaks down with fitness issues, because people tell me every week that Granit Xhaka is not the man to take us forward there. Lokonga's still learning, still developing. Patino's not there yet either. So that is an issue for me that, if it undoes us this time around, is one I'm going to struggle to forgive, because it's not one that's just cropped up this week. It's not an issue or a problem that's only just presented itself. It's a bloody problem that we've had for a year now, for coming up to a year. And we've done, in my opinion, nowhere near enough to try and address that. And the last thing I want is Arsenal to get undone and come unstuck off the back of a failure to address what I believe to be probably the most key area on a football pitch. So, that's where I'm at on that. What else have we got? Mint says that if you had the choice between winning Sunday against that lot or winning at Anfield and losing Sunday, what would you go for? I'd definitely go for winning the North London Derby, because, first of all, it's the North London Derby. But second of all, it's because, as I say, the Premier League is the priority for me. It's the one thing that I think we need to be focused on. I think all the other things are almost welcome distractions when you're doing well, but can be problematic if you're not doing well, i.e. the FA Cup, right? You go all the way in the FA Cup, great. It's a nice bonus. It gives your season a nice shine and finish. But if you do poorly in it, it's another stick to beat the manager and the team with. So for me, the Premier League has been the priority from the start of the season, and it should be moving forward. What else have we got? Matt Parrott says, afternoon, Harry. What's your thoughts on playing both Emile Smith-Rowe and Odegaard with either dropping into the midfield? I think that might be something, Matt, that we probably need to do over the next few days. But Mikel Arteta, interestingly, actually, was asked a question about whether he'd had to speak with Emile Smith-Rowe off the back of him losing his place in the starting 11 and kind of the impact that that's had. However, he then proceeded to tell us that Emile Smith Rowe has had a fitness problem, and that's why he was left out of the team. We know that's why he was left out of the team initially, but that he's still, I don't know if he was saying that he's still carrying that injury, or if, you know, it's the reason that he was initially left out. He kept referring to this problem that Emile Smith Rowe is encountering at the moment, and said that this is part and parcel of being an elite player, right? You're going to have to deal with stuff like this, and you're not going to be able to play through entire seasons where you're asked to play 50, 60 games sometimes without going through the pain barrier at times. So, I think that Emile Smith Rowe could be available from the start, which would be a positive. But yeah, I do think, Matt, that that could be something that we would have to do. You know, I think that playing maybe Xhaka and Odegaard as a midfield duo isn't the worst thing in the world, with Emile Smith Rowe going into the 10 role. I don't know. We'll have to see, but it's not the worst idea in the world. No, completely agree. As Harvey says, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe. Just want to give you guys a quick message. This show is brought to you by the good people over at ProPrep. ProPrep is the perfect study tool for uni students undertaking science, tech, engineering, or maths related modules, and they can halve your study time. ProPrep, who are currently supporting the Chronicles of Aguna podcast, provide bite-sized videos relevant to the module or course, which can be accessed from any device at any time, and it's already helped over 500,000 students to pass their exams. They provide customized STEM study tools that match your syllabus. Long lectures are condensed into short and clear video tutorials, and after the videos, you can go through what you've just learned with interactive exercises and practice questions, so you'll be ready. You can even submit questions to the ProPrep professors and receive a video answer back within 24 hours. Now, they've created a special offer just for our listeners. All you need to do is go to their website, which is proprep.uk/info/football, for more information. And our listeners can sign up to a free 30-day trial now. No credit card information is required. That's proprep.uk/info/football, and we thank them for their kind support. We've also got another brief message for you from another one of our supporters, our partners over at Athletic Greens. Anyway, let's get on with it. Let's talk. If you're wondering why I went into that, audio listeners will know what I'm talking about. If you're on YouTube, don't worry about it. Let's crack on. Let's continue through some of the comments. Lots of you asking me the question about Liverpool or Spurs. Listen, the Premier League is the priority for me. I'd quite enjoy stuff in Liverpool as well, but the Premier League remains the priority for me. And I think it's really important that we keep our heads in the game and stay focused on what really matters and what's going to make a difference for Arsenal in the coming seasons. I can see there's over a couple of hundred of you watching us right now, but we've only got 63 likes on the board. So let's rectify that sooner rather than later. Smash that like button. Also, follow us on Twitter at Chronicles_AFC and on Instagram. Now, when I first started the podcast, I created an Instagram account for it, and I used it for a bit, and then I kind of got bored and fed up of it, and I didn't really do anything with it. And the same with the Twitter account. I don't post anywhere near as much from the Chronicles of Aguna, not my personal, the Chronicles of Aguna Twitter and Instagram account. If you could get over and follow us on both of those platforms, I'd be so thankful. And I promise you there's going to be content on them coming forward. So yeah, get involved. Follow us at Chronicles_AFC. It's the same on both of those platforms, Twitter and Instagram. Get involved. Right. Let's see what we've got here. Jared says that letting Ainsley Maitland-Niles go was a bad idea, and in the summer, my fear was not addressing our midfield. Same as me, my friend. He says, yes, Lokonga is for the future, but we didn't address the starting midfielder. I say go for Zakaria or James Ward-Prowse from Southampton. Dennis Zakaria is also being linked because we know that his contract situation means it's very likely he could move away from Borussia Mönchengladbach this window. I'm sure if those links intensify, we will get experts on and we will talk about those players in a little bit more detail. Let's keep going through. Henry Gunner says, well said, H, about the midfield. I'd argue that it's been longer than a year. Yeah, and that's a fair argument to make. Odredek says, who would be better in midfield for us, Harry, Zakaria or Guimaraes? For me, I would say Guimaraes. I think he's more of the all-round midfielder that I'm looking for. But, you know, I'm happy to debate that. I'm happy to be corrected. If there's anybody out there who knows a little bit more about the players, it would be great. Parv Shah says, don't you YouTubers who support Arsenal and do podcasts and make videos about Arsenal get bored nowadays discussing the same Vlahovic information every single day? Well, Parv, we talked about Vlahovic for, and I made notes because I'm going to put timestamps in the show. We talked about Vlahovic for about 7 minutes and we normally go for about an hour. So there's plenty more to discuss as well. But obviously the Vlahovic story is at the forefront of everything, you know, right now, because it's the big one surrounding Arsenal. Raphael Lim says, hi, Harry. Great show as always. Would you consider having fans from all over the world, such as Singapore, joining via Zoom? Yes. I've been really bad and I know this, and it's not because I don't want to do them. It's because I don't want to set them and then let people down. But I've been really bad at doing our phone-in shows, which was one of the things that really, I think, propelled the Chronicles of Aguna to kind of where it is now, because we were one of the first doing that in the kind of Arsenal space. Not the first, I'm sure it was done before, but we were doing that quite frequently early on, and that's really helped. So absolutely, Raphael. And as I say, if you follow us on Twitter, if you follow us on Instagram, and if you're subscribed here on YouTube, then you won't miss any of those announcements. Let's see what else you guys are saying. Peanut Butter Jelly Time says that I'm thinking these types of transfers, Harry, are maybe going to get done at the end of the window, which will be bad for us given our fixtures coming up. Yeah, it's true, because it feels like the timing of it all right now is really shit, because we're talking about the fixtures that we've got coming up in the next few days that are, of course, of great importance. But if you look at February, if you look ahead to February now, as things stand, and that's with the assumption that Arsenal don't make the Carabao Cup final, we're only scheduled to play twice in February. Twice. So the resting, the rotation, the recuperation, all of that stuff, it can take place in February. Just like Premier League games are being postponed left, right, and center, we have to almost postpone that bit of rest, that break, until February. And so in an ideal world, you'd like to have the players that you want to make you at your strongest, you know, available at this point, which we do believe is a really, really important part of the season, of course. But there's still a long way to go after this month. You know, there's still a long way to go. February, March, April, May, key months in the season too, probably Kia. And so for me, I think, you know, yes, it's not ideal, but I always say this, right? A lot of the time, people, and we do this with our own club, and I don't think we do it so much with other clubs, because obviously we're not as attached and we're not as in the know and we're not as, you know, following the news as closely. But one of the common things we hear every window is, come on, Arsenal, get this the F done and get it done now. Why is it taking so long? Why are we so delayed in terms of the way we react to the transfer market? And I would argue that this time around, people have more of a right to be frustrated by this than in previous years, because it's clear that we needed these signings that we're looking at now. And it's been clear that we needed these signings from months ago, which is what makes it difficult, what makes it frustrating. But it's not uncommon for transfers, particularly in the January window, to go right down to the wire. It's not uncommon for deals to be done really, really late. If you think back to last season, you know, not the summer just gone, the one prior, it took us an age to get Thomas Partey, and we got that done right at the end. If you think about Martin Odegaard, when he initially joined from Real Madrid on loan, that took an age as well. And that was done, I think, if I'm not mistaken, on the 27th of January. That's just off the top of my head. So you get frustrated and you get disappointed, and I do too. But the reality is that this is the way the window works, right? Clubs will hold out as long as possible in the hope that you will be more willing to meet their terms as the window starts to close and the opportunity is at risk of vanishing. And that's just the way negotiations go, right? So yes, it's frustrating. Yes, it's disappointing. Yes, it's annoying, but it's not a problem that Arsenal have exclusively. It's a problem with the January transfer window in particular. It's a problem that you see in the summer too, but more so in January, I would argue. But it's a problem that everybody has to deal with and everybody has to face. Perez says, Harry, if the striker situation regarding Vlahovic drags into next week, do you still think it's viable? And how would you compare him to DCL and Lukaku? Look, I think that obviously Lukaku's at a level right now that although he's having a bit of a difficult period at the moment with Chelsea and off the back of that interview, I still think that Lukaku's at a higher level than Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Vlahovic at this moment in time. You have to say that because of the stage he's at in his career. I think that Vlahovic has much more potential than Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And so I'd be more in favour, even if it is a bigger investment, in doing that deal over the one that would bring the Everton striker to the club. Do I think it's still viable? As I've just been saying, I think Arsenal will work on it if that's what they are indeed doing behind the scenes until it is no longer possible. And will there be a point where they decide to turn their attention elsewhere? Will they be making inquiries regarding other potential suitors like we're hearing in some of the reports? Potentially. But yeah, I don't think if it doesn't happen in the next week, it completely disappears off the table unless some further information comes to light that suggests that that is the case. But yeah, look, we know that Arsenal are trying, or we hear that Arsenal are trying at the moment. And if they are trying as desperately as we're being led to believe, then I don't think they'll give up hope over the next few days. Right. And Rancid Pumpkin makes a really good point as well that Aubameyang was a January transfer too, wasn't he? And that was done quite late in the window too. So it does feel like kind of common practice, or maybe not common practice because nobody wants it to go that long, but it does feel like that's normally the way it goes. Okay, we are going to leave it there and we're going to be back a little bit later on today, 5 p.m. with another stream. We'll be talking on that show about the reports linking us with Jonathan David. We'll dive a little bit more into the Artur Melo story and hopefully bring you some more context and information around that. We won't be talking Vlahovic unless something breaks between now and 5 p.m. UK time. We will not be at all discussing Dusan Vlahovic on that episode. So we'll bring you up to date with some of the other stories during the rounds. And of course, as always, I'll be taking your questions and thoughts in the live chat box. I can see there's over 260 of you watching us live right now. If you wouldn't mind, please do hit that like button. It really, really does help. And we're around 10 away from hitting the magic 100 mark. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Check out our sponsors in the description. And of course, make sure that you give us a follow on Twitter at Chronicles_AFC. And it's the same on Instagram. I'll be back very, very soon with more. Until then, take care and enjoy your day. All the best.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.